cliffcentral.com.
Welcome to Leadership Transformation Platform, Multiplying Authentic Leaders, Moving Society. For all things leadership, go to leadershipplatform.com. One word, two P's in the middle. It's a unique show today.
The Leadership Platform is brought to you by Sibanye, a proudly South African multi-commodity mining company. At Sibanye, we believe leaders are made, not born. We also believe we can create a sustainable legacy by helping to develop tomorrow's leaders today. We are proud of our partnership with the Leadership Platform and will continue to support leaders who are committed to growing our country. Sibanye, we are one. Visit us on sibanyegold.co.za.
Very excited about this Leadership Masterclass. And why is it sponsored by Sibanye? Because we are launching the Youth Leadership Platform in communities and, in fact, in the broader society. Very exciting, in partnership with Sibanye. And a formal launch event of this will be happening on the 5th of June at the Nelson Mandela Foundation premises. If you feel that you want to or should be there, by the way, you're welcome to email us, info@leadershipplatform.com. One word, two P's in the middle. info@leadershipplatform.com, and perhaps it makes sense for you to be at that launch event, which is historic and it's very exciting. With me in the studio to discuss this, to discuss the vision and much more, is Thabisile Phumo, the Senior Vice President, Corporate Communication and Stakeholder Engagement, and none other than our Youth Leadership Platform team that's been on Cliff Central for about 8 months. Mongani and Sasha Lee, welcome.
Thank you.
Welcome. Thank you so much.
Good to have you as our special guests here today. It's I feel the burden of this very important, momentum project where we want to somehow engage the youth on another level. But let me share with you a couple of purposes of this Youth Leadership Platform, and then we'll expand on it as we continue the conversation today. We are sitting at Sibanye's offices, and we're recording this, which is very appropriate to do. All right, here's a... I've got about four or five purposes that I'm going to throw on the table that we've been talking about as a team. First, to create an active, dynamic platform for youth to share their views and proposed solutions for challenges in South Africa with their peers and current decision makers in society. Okay. Also, for societal leaders, this is not just one way, for societal leaders to share their views and suggestions with youth. A platform for youth to the youth in South Africa. For society to connect more effectively with youth and vice versa, our youth must feel that they are being heard. And then something I feel quite passionate about, we have to awaken the leader inside our youth more consciously. We want them to become, in words, authentic leadership activists, actively promoting authentic leadership and working hard to eradicate toxic leadership. So for them to take that baton and run with it. And of course, there's so much we can say that we hope this specific momentum and project will achieve. But let's kick off. And just a brief answer. We're going to look at in more detail. Maybe Thabisile, tell us why Sibanye is getting involved in this initiative.
I think it's important to first indicate that Sibanye has, for the last 2 years, in partnership with the Leadership Platform, been involved in leadership conversations at a different level. With the challenges that we face as a country, and in particular around youth, we felt it was important to actually zoom in to youth as a key stakeholder and unlock the potential of that community, if you want me to call it that, to enable us to begin to move South Africa forward at a different level. Because you will agree with me that there is a lot of conversations happening. Youth is now driving a lot of the socio-political agenda. So it is important that they get a platform. It's a very small but very significant step towards creating a platform where they can voice all their issues and have a much more focused debate around how young people can help the current leaders to lead the country forward.
Okay. Now, what is Sibanye's strategy around youth leadership development? I mean, you've got a whole development empowerment almost perspective from your side.
I think let me take you back to our purpose. Our purpose is how mining improves lives. And in that statement, we then say, how do we improve lives for different stakeholders? We do that by creating value for all of them at different levels. What we're doing for youth, we've got a myriad of programs of which this is part, where education is very key to our strategy. So we've got from an primary education perspective, where we get involved in infrastructure, teacher development. We go then all the way to high school, where we've got maths and science programs together with the Department of Education, with a view of ensuring that we've got youth that are able to compete, at least at a university or technical or whatever level, from a maths and science perspective. We run classes with them on a regular basis in communities around our operations. On top of that, we do have a bursary scheme, again, which is looking at youth in the areas within which we function. Over and above our bursary schemes, we obviously have got learnerships, which are in different forms. We also have got, for those youth who have not been able to be part of our maths and science program, who are going into formal education, to become part of what we call our portable skills, where they are trained in portable skills such as plumbing, to become electricians. Some of them get into small businesses such as chicken farming, vegetable farming, and so on. We also look at this, an important leg, which is actually going to form part of this program, which is youth entrepreneurship, where our input is going to be, again, at a skills level. A lot of youth in this country, some of them are qualified. There's not enough jobs to go around for the number of the youth that are qualified. So we want to be able to assist in some way for those youth who've got an entrepreneurial spirit to be able to know, firstly, so it's basic things and complex things. The simplest things are, how do they register their businesses? How do they market? How do they do all those things that enable them to set up a proper business? But at a different level is, how do they connect with businesses, not only in mining, but in other sectors, for them to be able to unlock the potential of other industries around their operation. So we've got a full suite of development issues with youth. And obviously, in terms of the people that we employ, for instance, I mean, the youth that get into our bursary scheme, some of them obviously do get employed. So those are the people we're seeing as the future leaders of our company. And of course, we do have other programs. We run regular career expos, again, to expose the youth in different schools to be able to choose. Obviously, we've got a bias towards our industry, but we're beginning to open ourselves up a lot more, because at the basics of career choice, the basics are the same, whether you become an accountant or you become an engineer. We also are having another program. We've been participating in a Take a Girl to School Child program, which we believe is very significant, especially in a country that has got gender challenges that we have. And obviously, lastly, part of this youth development program, we're not just going to talk. We're not just going to do entrepreneurship. We're also going to see if we can zoom in to schools and begin to assist with leadership development program at an SRC level, because these are the people who are the natural leaders in this environment. So we want to be able to partner with the relevant stakeholders to say, what are the deficiencies in terms of capacity building? And together with them, we don't have a FEM program, but what we want to be able to do is to go into these schools together with the Department of Education and other stakeholders to say, what are the gaps? Can we assist? Because one of the key things that the youth of South Africa in particular are teaching them is, we can't do it for them without them. And that is the approach that we are taking as Sibanye, in this approach. So it's a small step, as I said, but we believe it's significant in that it starts the conversation.
But you are doing a lot, Tabasile. I'm listening with interest. Those are all the pillars that you're actually implementing around youth and your communities. Let's just bring the youth leadership platform. You've been talking with youth. You've had youth leaders on the platform. You're youth in whatever the definition may be. Just your thoughts on this vision that we've been describing, and let's say also what Sibanye are doing.
I think it's fantastic personally. I think that it's nice that we're becoming involved with Sibanye, because as Tabisile has mentioned, you know, wanting to involve the youth rather than the superficial idea that no offense to the older generation, but only the older generation matters in developing the youth, actually involving the youth. And, you know, that is at the core of this. And I appreciate that. And I think it'll work well with what we're aiming to do. You know, we're going to see results, I think, more than ever.
Mungani?
I totally agree. I think if we want to solve problems for the youth, we need the youth to tell us what their problems are. Because what the adults have been facing and the problems that they've been and the challenges that they were presented with are different challenges from what the youth today is presented with. And we see that the youth wants to take part and be at the forefront of bringing about change. We look at 76, it was the youth that led the great revolution that happened in South Africa. And that's what we want to create as well with the youth leadership platform. And that's the kind of vehicle that we want to drive and have the youth on board with us driving that change.
But it's all integrated, isn't it? We call it the current generation of leaders, corporate politics, doesn't matter, are somehow involved in it. In other words, working with the youth and the youth working with the youth and the youth working with the current leaders. You know, no one can do it in isolation.
Mm-hmm.
Here we see it, a big corporate with structures and tentacles into communities are getting involved. But as we said, this is a platform, youth, for the youth, by the youth, to the youth, but we're not cutting out the leaders around them. Okay, so they got to know that we also have something to give, and our current leaders also have something to give. Maybe in some cases it's just an attitude change where they listen a little bit more and listen through the right platforms to the youth rather than, I don't know, think they know it all. But we're going to talk a little bit more as if we know it all. Okay, mm-hmm. I know we don't as we sit here on this platform. And I want to ask you, all of you, tell me what gap you think exists between current leadership in South Africa and the rising generation. Is there a gap? If there is, what is that gap and what causes that gap? Because we're starting this platform to leverage what your people like Sibanye are already doing. Fantastic. But we're starting it to give a voice to the youth. So we're assuming to some degree that there's not enough of a voice. So what is that gap? Let's start with the youth here and we come around to Thabisile. Do you think there's a gap?
There is a gap and it's called understanding.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's no understanding. There's no... there's no bridge between the older leaders, their thinking and their mindsets and what the youth wants. So like you said, something as simple as leaders of an older age tuning into cliffcentral.com to listen to what the youth have to say. Seeing YLP, youth speaking about fees must fall or men are trash, hashtag men are trash, whatever it may be, you don't get people tuning into this. And I think that is it may seem so trivial and so simple, but that is how you're going to know what the youth want. And that is how you're going to be enable yourself to help the youth solve their own problems. The youth want to solve their own problems, like Mungani mentioned. All the way back in the 1970s, up till now, youth are wanting to solve their own problems. But obviously, like you also mentioned, Adrian, you need the older influence. You need the more experienced influence. You know, we can't do it on our own. But I think that the gap is understanding and, you know, also the want to understand. Is there a desire to understand? If there isn't, then there is most certainly is a problem in the leadership.
See, that's leadership. The government mm-hmm. can't think they can do it without corporate. The youth can't think they can do it without government. And so I can go with 10 other examples. We all have to be more listening. Bongani quickly and then Thabisile.
I think one of them would be accountability. The youth have been wanting ways and means to hold leaders accountable. We live in a country where
Are they going to hold themselves accountable as
exactly.
well?
Exactly. Yeah. We live in a country where the president can reshuffle a whole cabinet and no one can be able to voice out their opinions to an extent that they can even either stop that or prevent anything in the future like that from happening. And as well with the youth, they've been led to resort to things like rioting and burning things to get attention from the leaders to them, to their issues that they're crying about. And such platforms as these will help the youth to drive the necessary and important narratives about what the youth are facing and what the youth want. And this is one such platform that will enable them to do that.
So the word understanding popped up, then the mm-hmm. word accountability popped up. And of course, you touch a whole new conversation as well there, which we may not look at today. But if you look at the big corporate like Sibanye, it's one of the biggest employers, if not the biggest. It's certainly the biggest mine in South Africa. It's a solid corporate citizen. that's getting involved in the best possible way here, and you have been dealing with youth in your communities for a while now, so you're not ignorant there. Do you think there's a gap between current leadership in South Africa and the rising generation?
Certainly, and I think it manifests itself. It's at two levels. Firstly, information. I think there's an information gap where there's almost lack of transition of where this country is coming from and where it's going through. So the youth is rewriting its own narrative, not taking into account the past. And I think this platform, hopefully, to some extent, will be able to bridge that information gap. But secondly, there's a gap that arises as a result of lack of collaboration. There is a lot of avenues that we're hopeful that this platform will begin to ignite around collaboration. Sibanye is a mining company. We do not have the answers to all the issues, obviously, that will be raised through this platform. Neither do we have answers to the areas that we get involved in, such as education, entrepreneurship. And through this partnership, we're hoping that we will collaborate with the right people that can take the conversation forward, but that can begin to put action plans in place to enable the gap, the information gap, to be narrowed and possibly closed. I'm an optimist, so I'm hopeful that the more we do these things, we might actually be able to get there.
In all of this, I just have a question, your thoughts. It seems to me like the youth attitude is different from past, and that leaders can't necessarily grasp it, or has this always been the same? So are the youth attitudes out there still the same? It's the world has changed, and maybe the environment has changed, and the challenges are different from 76. But youth attitude in general, I thought to myself, they have less obvious respect for the elderly, for example. But then again, in 76, the word respect might be a bit hard, but they put that aside and they stood up for what needed to happen. So I don't know, is the youth still the same or have they changed? Is there a different attitude and mindset amidst our youth today than there was 20, 30, 40 years ago?
I think it's still the same, to be honest. I think it's just intensified, and the passion levels have risen within the youth, and with everything being so more like easily accessible, just, you know, tweeting your thoughts on something and getting 15,000 retweets on that makes you feel so empowered, and it does get your voice out there. So I think that the different mediums through which youths can, you know, portray their feelings and send out messages
seems more in your face, maybe. It seems,
yes,
more aggressive. Okay.
So I think it's pretty much the same as what we had 20, 30 years ago, but it's just far more intensified with the resources the youths have available today. And I think it's good. I think it drives to what our constitution speaks about, you know, freedom of speech and, you know, pretty much encouraging people to think for themselves. And this is it's a democracy after all. So I think that's all just going towards one big, you know, picture of what our constitution speaks about and strives for. And yeah, I do think that it's the same, but just more intensified.
Okay, so what I hear you say is potentially, and see if Mungani agrees, it's more amplified. Yet we still feel there's a gap. Yet we still feel they're not necessarily listened to as they ought to be or as they want to be. So we're missing something, and maybe that is the words that came up here, the information situation and so on. Do you see that where I'm going?
Yes.
More amplified, more tools, more social media, more platforms through which to raise our views as youth, and they do. And in some ways, it's the same old, same thing. You know, they have to become aggressive and burn and fight to get what they want in some ways, as we saw with Fees Must Fall. But still there's a gap we feel. Mungani?
The attitude is still the same. They still want to drive towards something, a change, addressing access to tertiary education and things like that. But a lot of them are discouraged because, like I said, there's no way or mediums that are afforded them to effectively hold leaders accountable and be able to achieve the outcomes that they want. Right, we look at the Fees Must Fall. It's been ongoing. There are no sit downs. There are no proper discussions about the.
Do you think their voice
is,
sorry to interrupt?
Topic,
do you think
instance,
that the youth voice has been silenced a little bit over the last decade or two, perhaps, and they've just come back? They will always come back, won't they?
True.
But the future is the youth, and we have more youth on this continent than ever before. I think that the percentage of youth versus the older generation is mind-boggling. Tabasile, do you want to comment on that? And then I also want to look at the needs of the youth in your local communities, just for interest's sake, what you've picked up.
Yeah, I was a youth in the 90s, so I honestly believe that not a lot has changed. But I think what is different is every generation will pick up a course that they want to advance and get it to a point. I mean, during my generation, we all wanted to be educated so that we can beat the system by being on top of it through education. This generation is picking up its own battle, and I guess it's how they are picking it that is a bit different, and that's the gap that I think sometimes we identify. And I'll use an example of FIS my fall. We had even bigger challenges when I was at varsity in the 90s, where access to funding was even worse. But we respected the infrastructure. We respected what we had because education was fundamental to us. The difference that I see from the outside, and I'm not young anymore, is sometimes it doesn't help the cost of fees must fall when they are banning the very same tools they need to advance their course. And perhaps it's frustration, but it's a lack of constructive platforms for these engagements to happen. So when I was younger, there were a lot of more conferences, talk shops, and all of those things that actually got us to the answers that we needed. At no point did we feel the need to destroy infrastructure because we knew it was advancing our course. And I think that is what the leaders of today, young people, need to inject amongst themselves to say, does it help advance your cause to destroy that which you are fighting for? Because ultimately, let's make an example, then we get the fees to fall, at which point half the institutions are destroyed. So what happens then? And I think for me, it's just a mental shift. Every generation will have its own cause. I think we are all the same. In fact, the leaders are currently in government and in other institutions are leaders of the 80s. They had a different cause. It has ended up them here. And you guys, as the young people, as things get destroyed and all of that, when your time comes to become leaders, my question is, what would you find then? And that, for me, is a challenge. I think the youth of South Africa, as they express themselves in different platforms, need to grapple with.
Again, with democracy comes accountability. With freedom comes accountability. And we must all learn that. And that's it. If you want to stand up and fight for fees must fall, be accountable for what you're doing. Mm. So we all must, and there's the understanding thing coming again. Maybe we don't understand enough why they're acting the way they are now. And they're not understanding enough when we speak about those principles. Mm-hmm. So the understanding comes in and the lack of information. I still see those three or more principles as a golden thread in this conversation. I'm interested in, let's just go a little bit broader, the needs in your local communities. What are the youth needing there? And is it different from in the middle of Pretoria or Johannesburg or Cape Town?
Look, I actually think the needs are the same. In all communities, for young people at least. And it's been clearly articulated in other platforms. But we are seeing two things in our communities, employment being one of the biggest needs, access to education being the second need that we're finding in local communities, which is why we believe you need to unlock the economy at different levels, through education, but also through encouraging entrepreneurships. The challenges facing youth are immense. And if I went through their list of needs, we would not leave this conversation. But I think top of mind is employment and also the issue of education. But what I need to stress, which is a different nuance, is the fact that the literacy levels in the communities in which we operate are higher. So all of a sudden, your youth, when we say employment, they are not looking for menial jobs. They are looking for meaningful jobs because they've done their bit in some instances in getting themselves to an acceptable level of education. Hence, we are sitting across the country with graduates who are not able to find jobs. And therefore, the way either government or industry responds needs to be geared up to the new young person who's looking for a job.
Okay, so needs of youth in the broader communities, what are you, I mean, I'm sure you won't disagree with that, but what would you add to the list? And broadly, do we understand it? Do we really understand, I could ask, are there proper research projects on what the needs are in communities? We can all know something by engaging the youth, by interviewing and all those sort of activities. But what do you think are the needs, Bongani and Sasha?
Can I go, Bongani?
Sure.
Okay, thanks. So I think what Tabisile has mentioned is obviously two of the most pertinent issues that we like to focus on in terms of what the youth are lacking. In terms of education and employment, I think the youth, and this isn't a new thing on its own, it's just adding on to that, I think providing more platforms where youths can be, because, you know, you find where youths are, they have access to education, and they don't necessarily use it well enough. I don't think in South Africa there are enough platforms upon which we actually allow youths to be focused on, what is the word I'm looking for, on doing well educationally and academically. I know this may sound so trivial, but where do you have Sunday groups where youths from various schools come and sit together to talk about motivation and succeeding, more than actually just, and what problems are they dealing with? Home problems, personal problems. I don't know of a school that holds a Sunday program or a Saturday afternoon program where kids can come and talk about the issues they're having in their home lives and how that is affecting them educationally. And that in turn, it may sound so silly, but that in turn is affecting their marks, which affects their matric results, which affects them getting accepted into tertiary educational institutions. Is that being addressed? I don't think it is, to be honest with you. So the broader picture is being looked at, but the smaller, more the finer details are not. I feel very strongly on that.
Interesting point. We've had principals on the show last year. We had a show focused on education only, and we interviewed many principals. And man, the challenges they deal with are all of that and more. So they start dealing with the real intricacies and the problems that lead to their students not doing well. They're the ones who run weekend programs to try and get their kids to. So I think at some school levels, your principals in under-resourced areas are working their backsides.
It is the under-resourced area. Sorry, Adrian, but it really is. I've been exposed to a lot of schools in rural areas, and the people in those schools, I have to commend them, the principals, the teachers, they go above and beyond to provide their students with the necessary supports that will gear them towards succeeding educationally. But in the more urban areas, I'm finding that it's lacking.
All right, needs?
I'm going to punt a lot on entrepreneurship because it's the lifeline of South Africa. I'm looking at where we're going with high unemployment rates and things. In my community, for instance, I'm running a creative agency. I've got two photographers, I've got an editor, and I've got a cinematographer. So when we get a client, I know that four people, including myself, the fifth person, are going to go to bed with something. And three of the guys are still studying at a university level. They are not thinking in their heads about which company they should apply for a job, to get a job from. But instead, in their heads, all of us, when we sit, we discuss ideas and concepts. Which brand are we going to approach next? And where are we going to make the another paycheck from, you know? And when we drive the conversation of entrepreneurship and start initiating entrepreneurship, we help youngsters in, like for instance, in the township of Davidson, where I come from. If we can have more people that think business instead of applying for a job, we can have more youth starting businesses within the location and get sponsors from a host of different companies and bring the money into the location and then start employing people. And what are we doing? We're building industries within the communities that we live in instead of having people travel with three taxis to go to a job. And then when they get their paycheck, all their money goes to their transport. So when we drive the entrepreneurship conversation and we start initiating that, we're going to do this country a great service.
Okay. If I may, Adrian, because that's very significant. In fact, that is why we've put an entrepreneurship program. We want to get to a stage where our youth, whether formal or informally, begin to think about creating employment rather than being recipients of jobs in whatever form or size. So we want to see industrialists that are young people.
What this helps as well is this, that with education, people flock to HR, they flock to a host of different categories, so to speak. And what they're finding is that there's a lot of people in HR, there's a lot of people in certain industries. But if we were to punt on entrepreneurship, when somebody decides to study, they know that, okay, for me to run a business, instead of going into HR, let me rather do an MBA. So the skill is focused on what they're trying to achieve with the business that they're going to start, instead of going into industries that are already
saturated.
So I'm going to be a little bit cynical here, and forgive me if I am. We know how many entrepreneurs fail. Majority of them fail when they start. Often because it's romanticized. Until you realize I actually have to sell from my boot. There's nothing romantic about it. I cannot start playing golf after year one or year two. I can't travel overseas and do all those nice things that successful entrepreneurs seem to have. So it's getting down and dirtying your hands to be a real successful entrepreneur. So that's the one thing, is we think that we can train young entrepreneurs. I think we have a way to go to realize how big that job is. And that's good. We have to start somewhere. But honestly, we used to believe that creating small businesses will become the lifeblood of our country and create jobs. That's where we're going to create jobs. We interviewed Vic van Vuren, who was seconded from South Africa for the ILO, International Labour Organization. The UN, that's part of the UN, took him to Geneva, and he now works there, and he travels literally all over the world, benchmarking, doing research, and presenting to emerging economies, pretty much like us. And, you know, they now have research proof that is the way to go, is building small businesses. I asked him, how is South Africa doing with regards to that? And of course, we're not doing so well. We make it difficult for the small business owner. Corporates take long to pay. Government take months and months to pay. You know, cash flow challenges. So there is so much that we need to do. Maybe Tabasilio is also to lobby to government more while we work on ground level. We've got to lobby at the top and work at ground level so that it becomes easier, and eventually these things meet each other in the middle. So I see that very much coming in. My question was, what do you think are – what was my question? The gaps.
The needs
out there, and it keeps coming back to entrepreneur, doesn't it, somehow?
But I'd like to add the fact that, look, the agenda, or rather the narrative around entrepreneurship in South Africa, in my personal view, has not always been correct. We have not been able to go to the fundamentals of entrepreneurship, where we look at examples like Colonel Sanders, who started KFC. The story of how he got there is not the narrative that we talk about. You know, we talk about the many branches he now has all over the world. And so people begin to meet the entrepreneurship narrative in the middle. As a result, the values that go into entrepreneurship in most cases are not necessarily the correct values. And what we're hoping we can do with such conversations is to stop romanticizing narrative. To go back to the Raymond Ackerman story. Pick and Pay didn't start the way it did. Neither did the likes of Richard Branson. But that is the story that we miss. And we fast forward to the glam of the cars and all of that. And that's the picture the young entrepreneurs are seeing, such that even those who are successful, they actually work against their own success by having the wrong values. And the list is endless. I mean, you can go from Richard Branson to Microsoft. It started in a garage. Apple started in a garage. And that says, for them to get there, they worked hard. They saved hard. They marketed themselves to death. So there was a lot of dirty hands, more than there was a lot of TV and advertising and all of that. I think if we can go back to basics, and hopefully that is what we are going to begin to do with our young people, to say, if we give you a process out of which you need to understand becoming an entrepreneur, let's start you from the bottom. How do you manage cash flow? And hopefully link them to mentors. I mean, the guy who built Maponya Mall, one of the richest moguls in South Africa, he started selling fruit in a train. But nobody is going back to that narrative because it's not sexy enough. And what we want to do as Sibanye is to actually help tell the real narratives. And my view, or my hope, Adrian, is on this program, you will call the people who made it happen. Former mayor of the current mayor of Johannesburg started at the very bottom. His story is one of those that the young people need to hear. It took him years to reach the success that he reached.
But, and then his factory burned down, he had to start again.
And exactly, but that is the responsibility of a show like this one, where we need to be different by telling the entrepreneurship story. That is the correct story, not the tenderpreneurship story. And there's nothing wrong with those people who are lucky enough to get tenders. And I always say, if you get a tender of making T-shirts, of getting T-shirts, that's great. But go behind the back and learn how to make the T-shirts. Learn sales screening so that you can create an industry out of that which you are getting tenders, so that you can begin to be a successful entrepreneur, even though you're starting. Because everybody needs a starting point. If it's a tender or it's inheritance or it's the lotto for you to start your business, that's okay. But I don't think we are telling the right stories. And hopefully this platform will be different in that each time we talk about entrepreneurship, the questions we are going to ask, the people we are going to invite, are those who've got the right entrepreneurship values, who can become proper mentors to the young people.
Okay, now that's one thing about this platform, but this entire partnership is taking us into communities. We're going to have regular events with youth and leaders present. So again, getting both parties to talk to each other. Some events will be in some of your local communities, some will be at universities. So we're going to try and reach as far as we can within our means.
We are going to take a quick break. Stay with us.
At Sibanye, we believe leaders are made, not born. We also believe we can create a sustainable legacy by helping to develop tomorrow's leaders today. We are proud of our partnership with the Leadership Platform and will continue to support leaders who are committed to growing our country. Sibanye, we are one. Visit us on sibanyegold.co.za.
Let's take it practical. What do we want to see at those events, do you think, as youngsters? And Tabasile, let's brainstorm. What themes, what type of leaders? I think we're already getting a picture here, but let's come with some themes that we need to cover at those events and debate and discuss with the youngsters. And maybe, Sasha, if you don't mind just noting, I would, if I could.
I'll note it.
I can only do one thing, and that's talk and ask questions. So just take some notes. What are some themes and some leaders? What do you think?
From my side, one of the things that it's presenting a very big problem, I think, it's part of why there's a hashtag men are trash going on. It's the blesser and blessee trend that happens in locations and townships, mostly speaking from experience, that a lot of young girls mostly, as it happens, would want to live lavish lives. But because they come from previously disadvantaged families, so they settle on finding a man that can afford them those luxuries.
To bless them. And
to bless them. So hence the blesser and blessee. So then what happens if the man then decides, you know what, I'm having problems at work, I just got fired, and whatever other things that may be happening in his life, that he decides, you know what, I'm going to take out all this frustration on this girl. And then we start hearing about so-and-so gone missing, we start hearing about so-and-so who got brutally murdered and things like that. And we need to help these young women mostly to know about independence, you know, to embrace a part of feminism that celebrates the strength in women and equality with men in terms of assuming roles of executives and getting education that will open the right doors for them to stand on their own and achieve everything that they want to achieve in life, live those Instagram lives that they want to live, but at their own means and their own spending.
Pay the price for it.
Yes.
And the way that life works. But you touch on some, I don't know, can anyone come with a what's the theme there then? What would be a theme?
The blesser, blessee, we need to address that. We need to help young
Very
women
interesting.
To stand up and do things.
Is that such a big thing that when we have a national event with youth, for example, debating issues, that you think that could be a theme?
It's very huge. It's very huge. The number of girls that I know personally that are part of this, and not even from where I come from, but from different townships even that I've visited, that you see them, you see a BMW parking outside a four-room house, and they're there to drop off the child. It's worse in situations and scenarios, and they happen. The parents encourage that. So the mother will send the child to go off with that man because she's going to come home with groceries because they don't have anything to eat.
So it's a funny thing coming out there. All right, let's chew on that one a bit. What other themes? That's a bit of a shock to me. I don't know if you come into contact with that a lot, Tavasile, from your angle. What other themes do we want to debate and discuss at these national events with youth?
Sorry, but just to touch on that quickly, I mean, just based on, I know it's a shock to the system to hear that, but just so based on that thinking, if you think of it, many young women presume that they don't need to study, they don't need to become entrepreneurs. So that, I think that really does amazingly tie up well with, you know, this whole, what we're aiming to do and to spread entrepreneurship and, you know, more specifically to the youth. In terms of other themes, I think that that is something that we really need to focus on. And then, like I said before, understanding and speaking to youth about what platforms they think need to be in place for them to be better heard by the leaders. Bring a young person on stage and say, listen, Tabo, Cedric, whoever, whatever your name is, what do you think we should do? What do you think needs to be done to allow you or to enable you to be better heard? Do you think that a national database needs to be created for youths to email leaders and to have their thoughts heard? What is it? So I think that would be a nice theme to touch on, to hear what exactly the youth thinks needs to be done in terms of communication. It's a simple thing, but it goes towards, you know.
So we're not heard? Tell us how.
How?
You think.
The how?
Yeah. It could be heard better. What kind of platforms? And that'll drive some other things.
Mm.
Tabasile, some more themes, obviously entrepreneurialism, but it sounds to me like we'll have more than one event at least surrounding entrepreneurialism. So how would we break that down? What would be some themes that we could package for different events?
Look, I think it's only right that we hear from the youth what themes they want to hear. So much as we have a vested interest in this program and why we've decided to actually go a route where there could be feedback, is for us not to be preemptive or presumptuous of what are the topics that the young people want to talk about. So while we have a focus and we'd like to drive it to these pillars that we have, I think, Adrian, an opportunity exists with a follow-up of this show to actually say we've got these two themes that the young people have identified. What else would you need to see happening? Because that begins to change the power relations between adults and the youth. For the first time, we're not telling them what they need to talk about. We need to hear them. And what we are doing as a company is creating that platform. And what we hold ourselves accountable to is the platform and the integrity of the platform. The rest has got to be driven by young people and the conversations they want to have.
That's a powerful statement.
I love that.
We're putting a lot of faith in them.
Yes.
We if we had this conversation off air, we'd probably be right if we came with 10 possible events. Maybe we won't. But creating an opportunity for them, and maybe the responsibility comes down to you a lot. Also, the connection we now are starting with the Nelson Mandela Foundation. They've got a huge youth network that they also deal with, and I'm sure a lot can come from there. And starting in June at least, we'll start running these events and at universities and maybe even at Nelson Mandela Foundation, you know, wherever, and then Sibanye communities. There's more to do than what we can handle as a team here, as a country. There's so much we can do. All right. So there's some, any other thoughts on themes?
I think with the current hashtag fees must fall, not the bias of should fees fall or should they not fall, because we have people like Dion Chang that can come through and talk about the death of a degree. There's a wonderful piece that he wrote on the necessity of a degree to assume certain roles and what are some skills that you would need that don't necessarily need you to go to a university to have in order to be a successful person. So when we get those different narratives and those different topics within the hashtag fees must fall context, then we'll be able to expose certain narratives where people can see how they can fit in to address certain issues, so that at the end of the day, we're not sitting with a should the fees fall or should they not fall. But there's certain other things that we can be able to do to address issues of children growing into adults and being able to be provident providers.
Okay. And you know, I have some wise people saying, so when the fees fall and you have your degree, what then? In today's world, there are how many others who have the same degree as you? I don't care what your degree is. In fact, you can become a doctor now and you won't make a living almost. You've got to become a specialist to really earn well as a doctor. There are so many doctors out there. And so you can take every profession, chartered accountant. You've got to become the chartered accountant that differentiate him or herself from the other chartered accountants. Life after fees must fall.
Yes.
Is such an important theme that I hope this platform can take to another level. Another thing that I'm thinking of is older leaders need to understand there used to be a time when, because the CEO dresses in a suit and a tie, I now dress in a suit and a tie. That doesn't exist anymore.
No.
Mm-hmm. No, we don't just... And that's the attitude I think has changed. Yes, youth used to be aggressive if they needed something. They became part of the narrative and standing up for change in society. So that hasn't changed. But there used to be a natural, call it blind, respect for people with title and position. That no longer exists. So we look at, in our country, it's become a culture that, and maybe I differ from Bongani, is we can say what we want. Anywhere, everywhere, our president actually allows that. And that's quite powerful. I don't know that he allows it inside the ANC, but maybe he does. You know, there's huge allowance for us to raise our voices through social media, through lots of structures. So that's part of our very free society. But what comes with that now is, honestly, leaders need to understand that young people don't just respect them for their title anymore. It doesn't happen. Okay? They just don't. And therefore, now, for the first time in a long time, I have to actually gain their respect.
Yes.
I really have to sit down and not be condescending with the youth when they rise up at WITS. Or I have to actually sit with them and really talk with them at the same level. And then maybe the mutual respect will appear.
But if I may, was it ever respect or fear? Because I think let's define things for what they are. From the onset, respect was always meant to be earned. We come from a very difficult history as a country where fear was substituted for respect when it comes to title. I think there is still a lot of respect, irrespective of title. The only difference is there is a lot more conversation going,
yes,
such that if you look at issues, whether it's against ministers or the president, it's not always against the individual in most cases. It's against the actions. And that has always been there across history. So yes, we respect the office of the president. We may have a different view. We respect the views of, and even if you look back to a president that we revered, Nelson Mandela, we did not always agree with some of his stance. I mean, I remember him telling the US to jump into some pool. But at that time, he did respect the office of the president of the U.S. He did not agree with his ideas. So I think we need to move our young people, and I'm a mother to young kids, to get them not to fear me, but respect me enough to tell me the truth about things that they are concerned about. And I think we are moving into that space as South Africa, but we are not able from a change management perspective to deal with it, because we come from a fear-based culture.
Mm.
It is respectful for young people to raise their views. Perhaps what is disrespectful is the how.
Mm.
But it is the best form of respect to tell the truth, in my personal view.
True. Leadership, it's only fitting that we speak about leadership. And
as another theme.
It can come in different variations. With some of the local communities that we travel to, a lot of the people just see a Kevin Farquharson popping up, vote for me. And they don't know what it takes to be that Kevin Farquharson, or how to get involved and become leaders from a local point of view and from a national point of view. When John F. Kennedy was the president of America, we never thought Donald Trump in 2017, fast forward, would be the president of America. But so the youth and the general public need to be involved more in leadership positions. And we need to talk about this. What is leadership? What is authentic leadership? How do we fight toxic leadership and things like that?
Okay, a wonderful theme there. I think no doubt we have to talk about that theme. We are all biased in that direction, so let's remember that one. All right, let's start wrapping up in the next few minutes. There's so much we can talk about around youth. There are those who say if we don't invest in our youth, we have no future. The statement sounds great, but how true is it in reality? We say it. Just like we say the future of job creation in South Africa is small business. But then we don't make it possible for small businesses to survive and thrive. In the same way we say, oh, the future of our country is in the youth. The future of our continent is in the youth. But how true is this statement really? Is it mission critical true? Is it what we need to believe in order to not destroy our country? How important is it?
You know, to put it across to you, in Hungary, we had a chance to interview the ambassador of Hungary on one of the shows, and he stressed so much about the importance that they placed on education. And when I talk about education, I'm talking about reading in general and consuming as much information as you possibly can. When the ambassador of Hungary was on the show and he spoke, he, talking about the importance of education, he said that because of the importance of education that they placed, the youth was so educated back at his time that if you look at Hungary today, the Beetle comes from Hungary. The Rubik's Cube comes from Hungary. 24th Century, which produces a lot of big films in America, is from Hungary. When they did the hydrogen bomb, there were a lot of Hungarians at the Manhattan plant that were building that. And you look at a lot of Nobel Peace Prize winners are from Hungary. So had they not invested so much on the youth and educating the youth holistically, the country wouldn't have so much success. I'll put that in quotation marks because we define it differently as they do today. And the quality of people and leaders that they have produced up to this day.
And in line with my question, Tabasile, I guess the future of our country, the future of our planet, and the future of our youth building that is so important that a big company like Sibanye, who's a leading employer in our country, has decided to invest a lot of time and money in that.
Yeah, look, continuity is important, and I think we are trying to build continuity, cross-generational continuity, because we must not make the mistake of getting the young people too late in the narratives of developing their own country. They've got to start in the beginning so that as you grow from one generation to another, they understand what were the building blocks of a different generation. And I'm sure you hear a lot of older people complaining about the struggle, what we fought for, and all of that. And the young people, and I talk about my children as well, don't understand it because that continuity is not there. They don't know what went into making this country what it is. And therefore, I think this is a great start. As I said, it's a small step, but where I come from, there's an idiom that we've also translated, which exists in other cultures as well, that talks to a journey of 1,000 steps starting with one. We've got to attack this elephant bit by bit until we get to a point where we are making inroads.
All right, so wrapping up, each of you just share a thought, be it some kind of excitement about this project, about your involvement, your commitment to it. What do you want to bring to it? And then maybe Tabasile, just explain to us in a nutshell what value is Sibanye creating for youth through this initiative, or what value do you hope you will create through this initiative and the others that you are currently implementing. So maybe we start with that, the value is creating. And then let's just have a final message, you as youth, about this that we are tackling.
Look, specifically with this platform, we want to create the right conversations. We want to create the opportunities for marginalized youth to be heard, whether it's in areas of education, whether it's in areas of entrepreneurship. So that's the value that we'll create. I come from the township. Incidentally, we both come from Daveyton, where the difference between success and lack of success is information. And I think it's not always money. And that is why, Sibanye, we've gone towards a platform where there'll be such a wealth of information that people will possibly be able to use that information to unlock further platforms. And that is the value that we aim to create.
Okay.
Final thoughts from me would be that there's power in exposing the right narratives. When Langston Hughes wrote about a raisin in the sun, and then the lady Hansberry that the book was written by wrote the book, titling it after the one liner from Langston Hughes. What they were talking about was a dream deferred. That are we just gonna stand by and watch people's potential perish like a raisin in the sun? No. This platform is gonna provide that vehicle that will help enable the youth to speak and not be raisins in the sun and use their potentials to drive change.
And the same for me. I just think that I'm so excited about this initiative because I feel that it really is, as we touched on earlier, it's going to really tune in with the youth on a grassroots level. And, you know, the youth will feel involved and feel like they are assisting, well, helping, taking charge in solving their own issues. And it's going to give them the hope that they need. And through this, it'll prove to them that entrepreneurship, leadership, all of that is important. And it'll give them the how to what they want to do, which I feel is very important. So I'm very excited. Yeah.
Yeah, and one of the things leaders deal in is hope. So obviously we hope that this whole platform, not just the shows, not just the leadership show, not just the events, but all of that will give hope to the youngsters. I think there's a lot of youngsters out there that don't feel hope.
Mm.
You know, here I am, I'm stuck in Daveyton or wherever it may be.
Resort to drugs.
And I resort to drugs or blessing or being blessed or whatever it is, you know. All of that. Why? It starts with not having hope.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. Mm-hmm. So if we can swing that Sibanye banner, that leadership platform banner, that Cliff Central banner or whatever banners, say there is hope. And if we can mean what we say and mean what we do, then I think we can make a massive difference out there. And thank you to Sibanye for coming to the party.
It's a pleasure.
You know, businesses have to work overtime just to survive, to look after their own employees, to get gold and platinum from under the earth to the top. And cost cutting is always on the agenda. It's never, ever off the agenda. Things are tight. The economy is not growing. You know, we're now junk status to some degree. All of that, and still we have corporate with good intention and people like ourselves who hopefully can make a small difference. So I wish you all well. Thank you for your contributions today. We look forward to this incredible journey. It's always nice to talk about something, very motivational, but once the directions and structures go into play, then it's hard grinding meetings and planning and inviting. But we'll make it happen. We will, and I think we will make a difference. Thank you so much, everyone. Thank you for spending some time with us today. Stay tuned for our Business Masterclass up next with Richard Angus and the team.
The Leadership Platform is brought to you by Sibanye, a proudly South African multi-commodity mining company. At Sibanye, we believe leaders are made, not born. We also believe we can create a sustainable legacy by helping to develop tomorrow's leaders today. We are proud of our partnership with the Leadership Platform and will continue to support leaders who are committed to growing our country. Sibanye, we are one. Visit us on sibanyegold.co.za. CliffCentral.com.